from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, I don't care, Lee, if they saved the Red Lobster, but I just hope they saved the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. That's, I've actually seen those available in the grocery store, the mix for it, so.
Yes, I'm a huge fan. I purchased it, and I will say.
Back in the day when you and I ate biscuits.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore.
Well, I mean, I still do at holidays.
Okay, well, yeah.
But the mix is an approximation, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same as the fresh Cheddar Bay biscuits.
This is true.
I don't know why. So, you know, I'm a little alarmed hearing about the Red Lobster situation there. I hope they can save the Bay biscuits. Although I will say, we used to go there as a family a lot more, and they have had to raise prices. It is prohibitive to go there now.
Yeah.
It's so, and part of that is just the Joe Biden economy.
Yeah. Well, you know, you bragged about, I think, Crash, your son being, you know, really good at baking, and maybe he ought to make that an assignment, see if you can replicate the Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits recipe there.
I'll put him on that because the box is just not doing it for me.
Exactly.
You know, I'm going to incur that level of caloric intake.
Yeah.
That level of damage. It's got to be better.
Well, you know, it's time to practice that before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, look, here's the thing about Kamala Harris's flip-flops. Okay, it's not just flip-flopping. The thing she's flip-flopping on would radically change my life, your life, in ways we will notice every day.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't small esoteric things like, you know, things, I don't know, that aren't going to affect your life, policy that wonky people debate, but doesn't really matter. This is EV mandate. Will you be allowed to buy a gas-powered car? You're going to have to buy a much more expensive electric one.
Right.
A border wall. Lee, as you had in the news here, I had it yesterday. We have illegal immigrants hijacking school buses
attempting to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that advice to parents. Oh, yeah. If you see them, you know, trying to get on your child's school bus, don't worry. The bus driver's told not to stop. Just don't stop at the stop. Just keep going to the next one. If they see a gang of illegal immigrant men trying to, you know, hijack the bus. They don't worry. The driver knows just to go on to the next stop, and you just get in your car and follow the driver until you get to a safe place with no illegal immigrants. How about we make America a safe place with no illegal immigrants? How about that?
How about not having to worry about some immigrant gang coming in, taking over your apartment building?
Oh, that's crazy, by the way. Did you see the Democrat governor of Colorado?
Oh,
it's like,
that's
just your imagination. No, that's it's not happening.
That's the video that just showed you what's going on there, which, you know, Republicans have been talking about this for decades about why this is an issue.
I knew Democrats would do this. They'd be like, nah, that's not happening. The New York Post, Lee, found one of the owners of one of the complexes, and he flat out says in the New York Post, I can't go there. I've lost control of it. There was a severe beating done by the Tren de Aragua gang leader at one of them. And what they did is they went in and started beating the staff that works there. So they're afraid to go to work. There's nobody to run it. Nobody can go on the property. They've interviewed them all. For the governor to say it's imagination. I mean, we have video. We have interviews.
Yeah.
We have owners saying I've lost control of my property. I mean, what more do you need?
You have residents who are moving out and leaving, who have bullet holes in their vehicles in the parking lot, for crying out loud.
From the shootouts. Because they want them gone because they're taking territory, just like I predicted they would in the Battleground America podcast, in blue areas.
Yes.
Not going to happen here. We don't put up with that. We just go round them up. I mean, but you can't do that in areas.
We actually have elected sheriffs.
I know.
That are willing to defend the citizens of the county and enforce the Constitution in this county.
So what you're seeing right there is small-scale response, what Democrats are going to do. They're just going to deny that it's going on, deny that it's happening, and let it go. And I'm telling you, this whole thing that's going on with Aurora right now is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this thing called the internet, and all over, you know, Central America, places like Mexico, if you ever Google in Mexico, right, there are brutal gang territory wars that go on all the time. Headless bodies hanging off bridges, that's every day there. Left on corners, butchered, massacred, machetes. Why? They're fighting over territory. And you're like, man, three of my guys got hacked to death last month. Wait, but I could go to Aurora and the governor will say we're not doing anything about that because it's not happening. What am I doing here in Mexico? You know, risking my life every day to protect a drug rat. I'm just going to go to Aurora. I'll just take over an apartment complex. Pick one. That's what they'll do. They are going to take territory. You are going to see the clash between the depolicing agenda, the bond you out again and again agenda, and actual real hardened criminals that will make it look like America's drug dealers are playing Candyland.
Yeah.
This is a breed of criminal that we don't see here.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the criminals we have here will be driven out by them. And Democrats are inviting this. This Aurora story is going to go everywhere. I'm telling you, you're going to get a flood over the border of rival gang members who've lost territory, who are like, why am I doing this in Mexico when I can go to Aurora? This is going to just snowball this. This is going to invite more of it. All while Tim Walz tells Dana Bash last night about how passionate he is about disarming Americans in the face of this. They want you disarmed so that the only people who have arms are the ones they keep bonding out, who are illegal immigrants, who are untouchable, who they're going to just deny they took another apartment complex. Again, look at the thing she's flip-flopped on, and you can see where Aurora came from. Border wall flip-flop. Decriminalizing border crossing. She said illegal immigrants, you know, shouldn't be illegal. It shouldn't be a crime to come here illegally. Medicare for all. What's that? Your insurance plan's illegal. You got to be in the government plan. Mandatory gun buybacks. That's confiscation, Lee.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, this is a perfect example this morning. I mean, you got the governor there in Colorado denying this is happening. No, we're not going to stop it, in other words, is what he's saying, because it's not happening. Meanwhile, she wants to take your guns so you can't protect yourself in that apartment that Tren de Aragua's decided to take over. You can't win. You live in fear. It's the Democrat way. Fracking. Well, if you're going to do an EV mandate, you need fracking. But she's flip-flopped on both those things. Again, it's like I said earlier in the show, Lee. I love these liberals who are like, oh, I don't have a gas-powered car. I have an EV. I only use clean energy. And where does it come from?
Yeah, exactly.
The wall. You mean the hole in the wall there with the socket? Have you stopped for a minute to think where that energy comes from? No. Fracking! It comes from fracking. I want fracking banned, but I want my car to run. Mm-hmm. I got to go to work. Oh, offshore drilling. She flipped on that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's where natural gas comes from. It comes from fracking. And you remember, Lee, I mean, during the Trump era, the economic news was always good. It was always happy. Remember my good economic news stack?
Oh, yeah.
Remember,
mm-hmm.
I still have it. It's yellow now with age. But it was huge. It was feet tall. I couldn't even get to all the good economic news every day with Trump. And I always made sure every quarter to read the report from the Labor Bureau on the GDP, on the economy. What was the biggest growth category every single quarter, without exception, under Donald Trump? And it was the mining and minerals category, which doesn't sound sexy, but it covers fracking for oil, for natural gas, for earth minerals, for coal, for all of it. That was always the biggest category in our economy, bar none. A lot of people think it's tech. It's not. And it was always 28 to 32% every single quarter under Trump. And she's just casually running around for the last few years going, yeah, we'll just eliminate that. Okay, well, no energy is going to come out of the wall, honey.
Yeah.
That EV you're going to mandate, it's not going to run. This is a nonsensical agenda. It doesn't make sense. It's not even right versus left or what's the right thing. The car won't run. You can't mandate EVs and get rid of fracking. You can't. There's nothing. Nothing. Let me make this real simple for you liberals. When you plug in the plug, nothing will come out. If we had a real media, you know?
Yeah. That's, you know, they always want to go the extra mile on anything that Donald Trump or J.D. Vance may say about any type of issue. But, of course, there's never any follow-up about any of these, you know, broad statements that are made by Harris or Walz.
And you know what this is proof of? Look, she didn't do an interview for 40 days because you can't explain this stuff.
No.
There's no answer to, well, okay, if you're going to get rid of 28 to 32% of our, you know, energy, what will you replace it with? There's no answer to it. There's none. She can't answer it. No, the best debater on earth can't answer it. The smartest person on earth can't answer it. Elon Musk couldn't answer it. Nobody can. It's nonsensical. It's just pure economic destruction for the point of destruction. You can't justify it. No matter how much you lie, you can't make it make sense. So all you can do is hide. And you know what? Joe Biden did the same thing, Lee. He hid too. Part of it was he was a bumbling fool. But the other part is this agenda is not defensible and they know it. That's why they hide.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent. And I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, boy. So here's where we are. Jailing Elon Musk for life. Hip. Cool. Happening. All the right people are doing it. Yeah. Like the authoritarians over in Europe lining up. By the way, Brazil now is a dictatorship, just so we're clear. It wasn't a few years ago, but they stole the election from the Donald Trump style leader of that country. And now they have a dictator. And so, yes, they are looking to put Elon Musk in prison. They just froze his Skylink account. He was supposed to appoint somebody to censor the Brazilian, or oversee, I should say, the censorship of the Brazilian version of X. He refused to because that person would have been immediately arrested. And so in retaliation, there's a Supreme Court justice there who is now acting as essentially the de facto dictator in hand of the leader of that country. And so in anger, he has frozen Musk's accounts for Skylink, even though Skylink didn't have anything to do with any of this. That was a free country 4 years ago. By the way, do you know who worked with Brazil under the new authoritarian dictatorship leadership to pioneer their censorship program, to write it, author it, and teach them what's called best practices, which is just, you know, you get your algorithm to find people telling the truth and try to squash them like bugs online. You know who did that? Your tax dollars at work was the FBI. Yeah, great reporting by Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger documenting that. The FBI. The FBI partnered with the incoming government at the time on speech crackdowns, putting their program in place. Now it's up and running. Congratulations to the FBI. Good job, you jackboot thugs. So that's what's going on there. So they're moving. The reason I'm bringing up Brazil this morning is so that you can look at Brazil to see what the FBI would like to do here because they've pioneered it there. Partnership. Oh, the Pentagon was in on it too. This is what you pay for when you pay your taxes. So Mark Zuckerberg seems to be rebelling against the Borg somewhat, but maybe, I don't know. So the timing of the new Donald Trump tabletop book is a bit unfortunate. They seem to have a warming relationship. Trump in the book threatens to imprison Mark Zuckerberg for the rest of his life if he does anything illegal over the election. I had no objection to that. If he does anything illegal over the election. Trump writes in the book that he and his wife would come to dinner and his wife as nice as could be while Mark plotted the downfall of Trump by donating $400 million to Democrats for those lock boxes that they were then recorded dumping massive handfuls of ballots into. Boxes that largely went into Democrat-controlled areas so that ballots could be stuffed into them. For the record, since the book has come out, Zuckerberg's now saying he's not going to donate a dime. So I don't know where that leaves Trump and Zuckerberg, but the book is out. And so is Elon Musk. He's out of options. Folks, I have been telling you, have I not, for like what? Well over a year, they're going to arrest him. I didn't see them arresting the Telegram guy first. Just didn't think of it. But I knew this was coming. I knew. I watched the FBI work in Brazil to put together this horrific censorship regime. They are duplicating the censorship regime that they have here, but in a place like that, where there is less of a constitution standing in their way, they are just out of control. So my advice to Elon Musk, he's a smart guy, he doesn't need me to tell him what to do. I don't know that I'd fly out of this country. I'd be very careful if I did where I landed. I would not fly to Europe. I wouldn't get on a plane to Europe. I wouldn't buy a ticket for a plane to Europe, although I'm sure he would fly in his own private jet or whatever. But I would not make the mistake of landing there. I wouldn't do it. I don't think he can leave the country anymore. You're going to see, folks, we're going to watch this guy become the most wanted man on earth. And if Donald Trump wins, then he can be free here. If she wins, they'll extradite him. You know, I know it's, folks, it's been, what, a week and a half since all this started? 2 weeks almost? Since the EU is like, heck yeah, we're going to bring Elon Musk in here. France, by the way, is an open criminal case. They're asserting the right to extradite him. So is the UK. And the EU is all over the place. I don't know what they want to do. That's three entities right there. She hasn't said a word. Kamala Harris has not said a word. Like, no, we're not extraditing Americans for a First Amendment violation. Sorry, no can do. Why? Because she's going to extradite him for trial and get him out of here. That's why. She will. Or she would have said otherwise. It was a huge issue that week. She didn't say a thing. You know how else you know she will? You know Zuckerberg's letter this week, earlier this week, in which he said he was pressured to censor? I hated those two words, pressure and censor, but that's what happened. And that the FBI lied to him about Russian disinformation. Because of that lie, they've had to change their policies. Do you know who did the pressuring? The actual person who did it with the Biden administration? Rob Flaherty. Rob Flaherty did it, including sending emails personally naming Tommy Lahren and Tucker Carlson as people he wanted silenced because he didn't like what they were saying. Rob Flaherty. Where is Rob Flaherty today? Anybody know? He's her deputy director of her campaign, number two in charge. Can't make him number one. That'd be too obvious. He's the number two. And that tells you everything you need to know about what comes next if this woman wins. Free speech rights dead. And Elon Musk, I don't know where he'll hide. Maybe he buys his own island. Does he have an island? I mean, he may. I don't know. Maybe you buy your own island and you live there. Maybe he could arm it. You think he could arm it with like some kind of technology so they can't get him? I'm just, you know, thinking out loud, coming up with solutions.
I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed. You mentioned the Green New Deal. I have always believed, and I have worked on it, that the climate crisis is real, that it is an urgent matter, to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. We did that with the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yes, and you also printed $1 trillion. You printed $1 trillion and middle class families paid at the checkout line. You printed $1 trillion and the price of the average mortgage, because of the inflation you caused and also the interest rates, needed to tamp it down. The average mortgage cost per month since January 2021, when she took office, increased $970 a month. You're probably driving thinking, I heard that wrong. A year? No, a month. That's an 85% increase. And that's just for your average median home, which went from $307,000 to $460,000 in 3 years. In 3 years. Folks, I'm trying to work this into every hour, because this was the most important stat of the week, is, you know, regards economics. And I think there's so much going on, a lot of people missed it. So the chief economist for the MLS, multiple listing service, writes what you list your house on, your agent will list your house on if you're going to sell your house. It's nationwide. They know everything about the price of houses. Do you know what she said? Lisa Sturtevant, she's their chief economist, MLS. This is just reverberating around in my mind, because nothing captures the absolute decimation of the middle class under Kamala Harris like this. Quote, the upward pressure on home prices is making this the most unaffordable housing market in history. U.S. economic history. Worse than the Great Depression? Yes. The upward pressure on home prices is making this the most unaffordable housing market in history. For who? She says, she goes on, first time and moderate income home buyers in particular increasingly are being left out of the housing market. Well, of course they are. When a mortgage goes up, the cost of a mortgage, which you pay $970 a month, of course they are. That's approaching the entire size of my mortgage. It's not far off. I mean, the middle class doesn't have homes at this point. And what does this woman have? Word salad. Here's what she says day one. This is what she's going to do day one. Wait till you get a load of this.
What would you do on day one in the White House?
Well, there are a number of things. I will tell you, first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. When I look at the aspirations, the goals, the ambitions of the American people, I think that people are ready for a new way forward, in a way that generations of Americans have been fueled by hope and by optimism.
Do you hear an answer there? There's no answer. Hope and optimism gets crushed at $970 extra a month in just 3 years. That's hopeless, is what that is. Here's King's College economist Brian Bamberg on that on Fox News this morning.
That's the thing. She's like, we had to fix all this stuff. And it's like, no, actually, we were in a pretty good spot. And then under you guys, we got that price thing. And we got that you can't afford a house thing. That's not good work. That's the question that Dana Bash is asking you. And like every other question, she couldn't answer it. I mean, it wasn't even that she couldn't give details. She couldn't even trace the logic of how she's going to try to address these things with a second crack at it, maybe, as president. And as an economist, that's what gets me. Okay, I want somebody who's coherent on economic issues. She knew.
She can't tell you what she's going to do, Brian. Our side needs to stop pretending that she's just a bad speaker, that there's answers to these things, but she's just a bad speaker. It's almost like covering up for her again. No, she can't answer, because she's going to do more of the same, and it's going to hurt people badly. That's the answer. That's why she hasn't done an interview in 40 days. That's why she probably won't do one for another 40 days. She can't. Stop criticizing her on form, as if, man, there's some great answers out there. She could tell you all about her great economic plans, but she's just not smart enough. She's just not articulate enough. No, she can't, because she can't, because her plans are the continued decimation of the middle class, and she can't tell you that. And there is no speaker on earth who could make that sound good. There, I fixed it. This exchange with Brian Bamberg came the closest to what actual reality is.
Take her words for it throughout the interview when she said, my values haven't changed. She said she is the same person that she was 40 days ago throughout her entire life. She basically said, I'm just changing this stuff for the campaign.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. I think her values need to change. She's got to start caring about prices and economic growth and the American family and affordability. I think given her profile and track record, the values are the problem. Change them so that you care about how people are doing, not just how your political fortunes are changing.
Yep. That's why she can't answer. You know what? This is like this is like what we did with Joe Biden on the border. Well, you know, old Joe's just incompetent. He's senile. It's, you know, I support. No. He deliberately unsecured and insecured the border. He has the most successful border program that I have seen. And accomplishing what? His goal, to let 12 million in here, which is what it'll be. He did not fail on the border. He's not incompetent at all. Admit what the goal is, failure. Admit what the goal is for the housing market, unaffordability. They don't want to build homes. They don't want you to have a home. They think your lifestyle is too rich and too decadent. They don't want you to be able to afford to have another child. She said it. That's the goal, and they can't tell you the goal. So they have to lie. That's not inarticulate. That's not, in Joe's case, dementia. That's a lie. And boy, did they lie in this interview. Tim Walz, man, what a piece of work. Listen to him dodge. You know how he claimed he carried a weapon of war in a war, except he never went to a war. He just went to Italy for training. Listen to this.
You said that you carried weapons in war, but you have never deployed actually in a war zone. A campaign official said that you misspoke. Did you?
Well, first of all, I'm incredibly proud. I've done 24 years of wearing the uniform of this country. Equally proud of my service in a public school classroom, whether it's Congress or the governor. My record speaks for itself, but I think people are coming to get to know me. I speak like they do. I speak candidly. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, and I speak especially passionately about our children being shot in schools and around guns. So
yes, and you speak very passionately while you're lying because you have a problem. You didn't serve in a war, but you keep telling people you did, including the Kamala Harris campaign, which then repeated your lie and humiliated itself. Now, Dana Bash, to her credit, this is one of the few follow-up questions she actually did when they lied to her face. She asks again, but Tim, you lied.
And the idea that you said that you were in war. Yeah. Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English tone, my grammar's not always correct. But again, if it's not this, it's an attack on my children for showing love for me, or it's an attack on my dog. I'm not going to do that. And the one thing I'll never do is on.
Just a grammar. It's just a grammar. You know, I meant to say weapon, you know, I meant to say of war, not in war. It's just a little grammar problem. If he'd done it once, it's a stretch, but okay, maybe. He did it in his campaign literature when he ran for Congress. He represented himself as a war veteran when he went on MSNBC. He even let a general who was in the interview with him repeat the lie that he was a war veteran and didn't correct him. He let Nancy Pelosi repeat the lie that he was a war veteran and didn't correct her. He even let the Harris campaign misrepresent his service on the website and didn't correct them till the media had to do it for him. That's a lot of grammar errors. Maybe the answer is you have a compulsive lying problem, Tim, and you need help. Boy, I got to tell you what. Last night, Crash and I went to see Reagan. We were invited by the Greenville County Republican Party. I think they rented out a theater and they graciously invited us. We came along. He's getting into politics. He's 12. And so his exposure to Reagan It's kind of minimal, right? And at the, you know, by the end, he was sitting there, and he's kind of a guy's guy, even though he's 12. He's like a little man, but he had tears in his eyes at the end of Reagan. And I don't think there was a dry eye in that whole theater. Just remembering what he'd accomplished. And
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed. You mentioned the Green New Deal. I have always believed, and I have worked on it, that the climate crisis is real, that it is an urgent matter to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. We did that with the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yes, and you also printed $1 trillion. You printed $1 trillion and middle class families paid at the checkout line. You printed $1 trillion and the price of the average mortgage, because of the inflation you caused and also the interest rates needed to tamp it down, the average mortgage cost per month since January 2021, when she took office, increased $970 a month. You're probably driving thinking I heard that wrong. A year? No, a month. That's an 85% increase. And that's just for your average median home, which went from $307,000 to $460,000 in 3 years. In 3 years. Folks, I'm trying to work this into every hour, because this was the most important stat of the week, is, you know, regards economics. And I think there's so much going on, a lot of people missed it. So the chief economist for the MLS, multiple listing service, writes which you list your house on, your agent will list your house on if you're going to sell your house. It's nationwide. They know everything about the price of houses. Do you know what she said? Lisa Sturtevant, she's their chief economist, MLS. This is just reverberating around in my mind, because nothing captures the absolute decimation of the middle class under Kamala Harris like this. Quote, the upward pressure on home prices is making this the most unaffordable housing market in history. U.S. economic history. Worse than the Great Depression? Yes. The upward pressure on home prices is making this the most unaffordable housing market in history. For who? She says, she goes on, first time and moderate income home buyers in particular increasingly are being left out of the housing market. Well, of course they are. When a mortgage goes up, the cost of a mortgage, which you pay $970 a month, of course they are. That's approaching the entire size of my mortgage. It's not far off. I mean, the middle class doesn't have homes at this point. And what does this woman have? Word salad. Here's what she says day one. This is what she's going to do day one. Wait till you get a load of this.
What would you do on day one in the White House?
Well, there are a number of things. I will tell you, first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. When I look at the aspirations, the goals, the ambitions of the American people, I think that people are ready for a new way forward. in a way that generations of Americans have been fueled by hope and by optimism.
Do you hear an answer there? There's no answer. Hope and optimism gets crushed at $970 extra a month in just 3 years. That's hopeless, is what that is. Here's King's College economist Brian Bamberg on that on Fox News this morning.
That's the thing. She's like, we had to fix all this stuff. And it's like, no, actually, we were in a pretty good spot. And then under you guys, we got that price thing. And we got that you can't afford a house thing. That's not good work. That's the question that Dana Bash is asking you. And like every other question, she couldn't answer it. I mean, it wasn't even that she couldn't give details. She couldn't even trace the logic of how she's going to try to address these things with a second crack at it, maybe, as president. And as an economist, that's what gets me. Okay, I want somebody who's coherent on economic issues. She knew.
She can't tell you what she's going to do, Brian. Our side needs to stop pretending that she's just a bad speaker, that there's answers to these things, but she's just a bad speaker. It's almost like covering up for her again. No, she can't answer because she's going to do more of the same, and it's going to hurt people badly. That's the answer. That's why she hasn't done an interview in 40 days. That's why she probably won't do one for another 40 days. She can't. Stop criticizing her on form as if, man, there's some great answers out there. She could tell you all about her great economic plans, but she's just not smart enough. She's just not articulate enough. No, she can't because she can't. Because her plans are the continued decimation of the middle class, and she can't tell you that. And there is no speaker on earth who could make that sound good. There, I fixed it. This exchange with Brian Bamberg came the closest to what actual reality is.
Take her words for it throughout the interview when she said, my values haven't changed. She said she is the same person that she was 40 days ago throughout her entire life. She basically said, I'm just changing this stuff for the campaign.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. I think her values need to change. She's got to start caring about prices and economic growth and the American family and affordability. I think given her profile and track record, the values are the problem. Change them so that you care about how people are doing, not just how your political fortunes are changing.
Yep. That's why she can't answer. You know what? This is like what we did with Joe Biden on the border. Well, you know, old Joe's just incompetent. He's senile. He deliberately unsecured and insecured the border. He has the most successful border program that I have seen. And accomplishing what? His goal, to let 12 million in here, which is what it'll be. He did not fail on the border. He's not incompetent at all. Admit what the goal is, failure. Admit what the goal is for the housing market, unaffordability. They don't want to build homes. They don't want you to have a home. They think your lifestyle is too rich and too decadent. They don't want you to be able to afford to have another child. She said it. That's the goal, and they can't tell you the goal. So they have to lie. That's not inarticulate. That's not, in Joe's case, dementia. That's a lie. And boy, did they lie in this interview. Tim Walz, man, what a piece of work. Listen to him dodge. You know how he claimed he carried a weapon of war in a war, except he never went to a war. He just went to Italy for training. Listen to this.
You said that you carried weapons in war, but you have never deployed actually in a war zone. A campaign official said that you misspoke. Did you?
Well, first of all, I'm incredibly proud. I've done 24 years of wearing the uniform of this country. Equally proud of my service in a public school classroom, whether it's Congress or the governor. My record speaks for itself, but I think people are coming to get to know me. I speak like they do. I speak candidly. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, and I speak especially passionately about our children being shot in schools and around guns. So
yes, and you speak very passionately while you're lying. Because you have a problem. you didn't serve in a war, but you keep telling people you did, including the Kamala Harris campaign, which then repeated your lie and humiliated itself. Now, Dana Bash, to her credit, this is one of the few follow-up questions she actually did when they lied to her face. She asks again, but Tim, you lied.
And the idea that you said that you were in war.
Yeah.
Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English teacher, told me my grammar's not always correct. But again, if it's not this, it's an attack on my children for showing love for me, or it's an attack on my dog. I'm not going to do that. And the one thing I'll never do is on.
Just a grammar. It's just a grammar. You know, I meant to say weapon, you know, I meant to say of war, not in war. It's just a little grammar problem. If he'd done it once, it's a stretch, but okay, maybe. He did it in his campaign literature when he ran for Congress. He represented himself as a war veteran when he went on MSNBC. He even let a general who was in the interview with him repeat the lie that he was a war veteran and didn't correct him. He let Nancy Pelosi repeat the lie that he was a war veteran and didn't correct her. He even let the Harris campaign misrepresent his service on the website and didn't correct them till the media had to do it for him. That's a lot of grammar errors. Maybe the answer is you have a compulsive lying problem, Tim, and you need help. Boy, I got to tell you what. Last night, Crash and I went to see Reagan. We were invited by the Greenville County Republican Party. I think they rented out a theater and they graciously invited us. We came along. He's getting into politics. He's 12. And so his exposure to Reagan is kind of minimal, right? And at the, you know, by the end, he was sitting there and he's kind of a guy's guy, even though he's 12. He's like a little man, but he had tears in his eyes at the end of Reagan. And I don't think there was a dry eye in that whole theater, just remembering what he'd accomplished. And as I'm driving home, I'm trying to explain to Crash what that era was like. I was a kid. Okay. So I wasn't politically savvy either, but I was very aware of Reagan. If Reagan was speaking, he was out, he was on in the background in our house. And Reagan was the personification of what America was and projected it into the world in a way nobody has done since. Donald Trump is the closest. He was energy and vision and the projection of light and freedom that he just embodied what the founders were and pushed that into the world and used it to shame those who would get in the way of it. And there was such just boundless optimism during that time. You could feel it. You felt safe even as a kid. You know, your parents make you feel safe when you're a kid. You felt safe knowing Reagan had your back as a kid. It was a scary time, Cold War, lots of nukes, things going on, but you felt like he had your back. You felt like everything was going to be great and good and okay, and things would always be good in America. And people loved America. Oh my God, the whole world wanted to be American. Even the Russians. They were smuggling in American blue jeans because we wore them, so they wanted them. I forgot what that felt like. I felt it as a child, and you could feel it. If you have an energy like that you can feel when you don't even understand fully the politics because you're a little kid, but you can remember it, it's powerful. It was a good movie. We really enjoyed it. And then to sit down and watch that word salad mess of lies and diversions, it's very, very jarring because that movie really did capture Reagan and Mr. Gorbachev bring down this wall. To stand in front of that wall the way that he did and the courage that took. We can't even find the courage to nicely, our leaders ask our social media titans not to censor us and our politicians during debate. We should be ashamed. Well, anyway, you could see last night why Kamala Harris can't do these interviews. And in her defense, again, nobody could. Take the national college debate champion, throw him up there and get him to try to defend this mess. They can't do it. Nobody can. This is a bowl of lies. She cannot be who she is because who she is a cancer that is destroying this country. She has to be somebody else. And who else she's trying to be is Donald Trump. And that doesn't work either. So she's left a slathering, blathering mess. And our side needs to stop saying she's not articulate. She can't talk better. Because it conveys that, well, you know, like she's got some great economic policies. Really, if she could speak better, she could explain them. No, no, there is nothing on the other end of her but economic decimation. And it is on purpose. It is not an accident. Look, let me give you an example. Do you know where her price control recommendation came from? Everything she has is ripped off. Came from Donald. No, not Donald Trump. Donald, her dad. Do you know why her dad was hired at Stanford as an economics professor? Because the Marxist students there, the communist students in the 60s and 70s were demonstrating. One of their demands was that a Marxist professor be added to Stanford's department. He was that professor to teach Marxism. And in that capacity, he was a consultant for the Jamaican government when they had what? Inflation, just like his daughter caused. With her, literally herself, with that vote. What did he recommend? Price controls. Go read about how that worked out in Jamaica. You think she doesn't know? Empty shelves, black markets, skyrocketing food prices. She knows how it ends because her dad did it. And she's proposing it anyway. Why? Because she wants the results. They want the results. They want to crush the middle class. And when you want to crush the middle class, when that's your goal and your policies perfectly accomplish that, interviews are hard for you. Not a reflection on her. She's just evil. She just wants to hurt people to accomplish her political goals. There's no way to explain that. But to lie, and it's not a good look. She's, you know, we're not going to get another interview for 40 days. So our side needs to stop saying she's inarticulate as if there's a good way to explain this. And start saying she can't do interviews, she's hiding because she lies, and she's going to continue these policies of decimation, and they're going to produce the same results. Boy, I got to tell you what. Last night, Crash and I went to see Reagan. We were invited by the Greenville County Republican Party. I think they rented out a theater and they graciously invited us. We came along. He's getting into politics. He's 12. And so his exposure to Reagan is kind of minimal, right? And at the, you know, by the end, he was sitting there. And he's kind of a guy's guy, even though he's 12. He's like a little man. But he had tears in his eyes at the end of Reagan. And I don't think there was a dry eye in that whole theater. Just remembering what he'd accomplished. And as I'm driving home, I'm trying to explain to Crash what that era was like. I was a kid, okay? So I wasn't politically savvy either, but I was very aware of Reagan. If Reagan was speaking, he was on in the background in our house. And Reagan was the personification of what America was and projected it into the world in a way nobody has done since. Donald Trump is the closest. He was energy and vision and the projection of light and freedom that he just embodied what the founders were. And pushed that into the world and used it to shame those who would get in the way of it. And there was such just boundless optimism during that time. You could feel it. You felt safe even as a kid. You know your parents make you feel safe when you're a kid? You felt safe knowing Reagan had your back as a kid. It was a scary time, Cold War, lots of nukes, things going on, but you felt like he had your back. You felt like everything was going to be great and good and okay, and things would always be good in America. And people loved America. Oh my God, the whole world wanted to be American. Even the Russians. They were smuggling in American blue jeans because we wore them, so they wanted them. And I forgot what that felt like. I felt it as a child, and you could feel it. If you have an energy like that that you can feel when you don't even understand fully the politics because you're a little kid, but you can remember it, it's powerful. It was a good movie. We really enjoyed it. And then to sit down and watch that word salad mess of lies and diversions, it's very, very jarring because that movie really did capture Reagan and Mr. Gorbachev bring down this wall. To stand in front of that wall the way that he did and the courage that took. We can't even find the courage to nicely, our leaders ask our social media titans not to censor us and our politicians during debate. We should be ashamed. Well, anyway, you could see last night why Kamala Harris can't do these interviews. And in her defense, again, nobody could. Take the national college debate champion, throw him up there and get him to try to defend this mess. They can't do it. Nobody can. This is a bowl of lies. She cannot be who she is because who she is a cancer that is destroying this country. She has to be somebody else. And who else she's trying to be is Donald Trump. And that doesn't work either. So she's left a slathering, blathering mess. And our side needs to stop saying she's not articulate. She can't talk better. Because it conveys that, well, you know, like she's got some great economic policies. Really, if she could speak better, she could explain them. No, no, there is nothing on the other end of her but economic decimation. And it is on purpose. It is not an accident. Look, let me give you an example. Do you know where her price control recommendation came from? Everything she has is ripped off. Came from Donald. No, not Donald Trump. Donald, her dad. Do you know why her dad was hired at Stanford as an economics professor? Because the Marxist students there, the communist students in the 60s and 70s were demonstrating. One of their demands was that a Marxist professor be added to Stanford's department. He was that professor to teach Marxism. And in that capacity, he was a consultant for the Jamaican government when they had what? Inflation, just like his daughter caused. With her, literally herself, with that vote. What did he recommend? Price controls. Go read about how that worked out in Jamaica. You think she doesn't know? Empty shelves, black markets, skyrocketing food prices. She knows how it ends because her dad did it. And she's proposing it anyway. Why? Because she wants the results. They want the results. They want to crush the middle class. And when you want to crush the middle class, when that's your goal and your policies perfectly accomplish that, interviews are hard for you. Not a reflection on her. She's just evil. She just wants to hurt people to accomplish her political goals. There's no way to explain that. But to lie, and it's not a good look. She's, you know, we're not going to get another interview for 40 days. So our side needs to stop saying she's inarticulate as if there's a good way to explain this. And start saying she can't do interviews, she's hiding because she lies, and she's going to continue these policies of decimation, and they're going to produce the same results.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.